This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Well, we've been talking about this incredible prayer that Jesus prayed in Luke 22:42 for the last few weeks. We've been talking about not my will, but your will be done. And it's an incredible prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he went to the cross. And it's really more than a prayer. It's actually a process that God takes us on as Christians to get us to the place we need to go. God takes us from where we are before we're saved, the old man, to the place he wants us to be, right? And so it's a process of saying, God, I'm laying down my will. I'm laying down some things in my life that separate me from you and separate me from your purpose in my life. And so it's been really powerful. And if you missed the last few weeks, go back and listen to it on the podcast. I encourage you, because it's really been transformative. And I know just from my time with God that this is an on-time word for us and for many people, even outside. You know, sometimes we need to tell somebody, hey, listen to this sermon, and just share it with a friend or coworker, because there's other people that need what God is saying. So today I want to talk to you specifically about what's at the center. What's at the center? Because there's something, when I say that, I'm talking about we all have something that we put in the middle of our life, and then everything kind of revolves around that. It can be something, and then our priorities all kind of line up with that and revolve around that and move around that. And as Christians, I know you're probably saying, oh, the politically correct thing is it's supposed to be Jesus, right? Jesus at the center. We were singing Jesus at the center. And sometimes we do that. But sometimes we don't. And, you know, it's hard to really say, God, I'm laying down my will and picking up your will, when we have something else that's in the middle of our life. And it's not Jesus, you know, because I don't think a lot of times we intend to do it as Christians, but sometimes Jesus kind of gets bumped over to the side, and then we got something else in the center, and now Jesus and the rest of our priorities have to revolve around what's in our center. And so what I want to tell you today is Jesus wants to be at the center. Jesus wants to be at the center. And here's what I believe. I believe that Jesus is not an addendum. He's the center. He's not supposed to be an add-on, but he's supposed to be the main thing, the central focus of our life. And so when we talk about his will, we're talking about putting him in the center. If it's his will, then he's going to be at the center. If we're actually walking in his will or towards his will, or we're getting better at following his will, right? We're all a work in progress, right? So if we're walking towards and working towards his will, then guess what? He's going to be more and more in the center of our life, and everything else in our life and our world is going to revolve around that. And when that happens, an incredible transformation actually occurs. And that is, when we begin to put him at the center of everything that we do, we gain a heavenly perspective. Wow. We start seeing things the way God sees things when he is at the center of our life. Because now with him at the center, we're looking at everything from a different perspective, a heavenly perspective. And instead of an earthly perspective, it's an earthly perspective or even pagan perspective to see God as an addition to your life. And you're saying, whoa, that's a bold statement. Watch this. It's an earthly or even pagan idea to see God as an addition to our life and not the center. Because Jesus is meant to be the center. Oftentimes in our life, though, that we don't do that. Jesus meant to be a replacement for all other things that are a priority, the high priority of our life. He's meant to be a replacement for that. All other gods in our life, he's meant to be the center, the main focus, the center of attention. How many people have ever seen a one-man show or a comedy act, one-man comedy act? And so you go up there, you look, and you look up on the stage, and it's one person. That is what God wants. God wants it to be so clear that he's the one that we're focused on. He's the focus of our attention. He's the focus of our applause. He's the focus of our time. We're saying, God, I have hewed out this place in my life and putting you right in the center. There's this story in Acts 17:16, and if you're not familiar with it, please go home and read it. Great story about Paul in Athens. And it occurs right there, Acts 17:16-34. But basically, Paul is on a missionary journey, and he's waiting for the rest of his missionary team, right? And so he's in Athens waiting for the team, waiting for the reinforcements, right? So while he's waiting, he gets a little frustrated with what he's seeing, because he looks around the city and they're worshiping a lot of gods. There's all type of different gods, and many of the gods they've created temples for, right? So looking around all these temples, and he's just, since he's not doing anything else, he said, I may as well be a light for Jesus. So he goes and he finds the one place that it says to the unknown God. It's a place they're trying to worship even an unknown God. They're worshiping all these gods and even this unknown God. And so Paul starts an argument, a presentation, and so he begins to tell them about Jesus. And he says, I want to talk to you about this unknown God that you're worshiping. This unknown God, he actually has a name, and his name is Jehovah. And he came in the person of Jesus. And he begins to explain this to him, and he said, actually, he's high above every other god. And actually, when you have this God, you don't need any other gods. And basically, that's what Jesus tries to communicate to us. Once you got me, you don't need anything else. You don't need any other gods. You don't need any other priorities that are on the same level or higher than I am. And so, but I find oftentimes with us, with men and women, we can make gods out of anything. Just find anything. I'm not just talking about traditional idols that you're thinking of, but we can make gods out of anything. And that's really the issue of our heart when we're following our will instead of God's will. And so when we're following our gods, we can make a god out of money. We can make a god out of our career. We can make a god out of a particular relationship. Amen? How many have seen that? They made their spouse their god. You can make a god out of comfort, or make a god out of things, a car, a house. You can even make a god out of celebrity or an athlete or a sports team. And so it's easy for us to make gods out of things. And an idol is, if I were to kind of simplify this and just make it simple, an idol is anything that we raise up to the same priority as God or higher. It's the same priority, because remember the Ten Commandments said, you will have no other gods before me, none beside me. So nothing even equal to me, just none anywhere near me. And so anything that we raise up to the same level or higher than God becomes an idol to us. And God is real serious about this thing, right? Look at somebody and say, God's real serious about this. He doesn't feel halfway about that. Anybody got somebody in your life and they're real passionate, real passionate. They feel really strong. Everybody's got at least one or two of these people. They are so, for us, it's Jessica. She gets up on the stage. She's excited about everything. She's so excited. It gets me excited. But God doesn't feel halfway about this. It says in Exodus 34:14, it says, you must worship no other gods. Somebody say that. No other gods. For the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. That wasn't enough to just say it once, but he said, his very name is jealous. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship with a jealous person, but it's very difficult to manage, because as soon as you start, you go out to lunch with somebody, you go out to dinner with somebody else, and automatically there's a problem there. But God describes himself in terms of our attention and our affection and our worship. He says, my very name is jealous, and I'm jealous about my relationship with you. point to your chest and say, God is jealous about his relationship with me. Every time I open up that passage and I read that, it always stuns me. It stuns me because I think we sometimes get into the pattern and the routine of our religious walk and we forget we serve a jealous God. He doesn't want anything on the same level as him, none even near the level that he is. And so it says he's a jealous God. And so God doesn't want to share the throne of our heart with anybody. Not a sports team, not a celebrity, not things in your life, not money. Every other God is an idol. You know, I was really, as I was kind of praying and thinking about this, I thought back in the beginning how the devil was kicked out of heaven. Y'all remember that story? And why he was kicked out of heaven actually was because he wanted to be at the same level as God or above and receive the worship that was supposed to be for God. He wanted that worship to come to him. Well, can I tell you, that has never changed. Even when he was cast to earth, he's still after the worship, after the praise. He wanted to be honored at the same level as God or higher. And so we see that even throughout history, the devil and spirits, wicked spirits, are at work trying to receive, grasping for the worship and the praise of people. And so the problem really happens that we were designed to worship God. Amen. We were designed to have this relationship with him and honor him and put him first in our life. And so we're designed to worship. But the devil wants that worship. So there's this thing that happens, and you can look throughout history how man has created, with the help of the enemy, created gods. And so anything that the enemy can do, he'll do to try to divert the worship away from God, to divert it to other things. Because guess what? Oftentimes he's standing behind those other things, indirectly receiving the worship, saying thank you. Oftentimes when we're celebrating and we're putting a celebrity up on a pedestal or putting a person or a sports team or a thing up on a pedestal, there's some type of spirit behind it saying, thank you. Thank you. Anything to divert the worship. We can actually, not going to get into this today, but we can actually look with spiritual insight into mythology and see over time how gods and how demigods were created. There's often could be pointed back to spirits. Spirits that stood behind things to receive worship, to divert worship away from God. So as we look with spiritual insight, we see the enemy is grasping for worship. And there's many even people that clamor for praise and applause. And we see many celebrities and athletes, they're grasping. They want that, they need that, they're hungering for praise and applause. And there's spirits behind the scenes always pulling, tugging and pulling people to try to divert praise to people, to things, to others, except for God. And you see, I don't need an American Idol because I already got my God, and his name is Jesus Christ. As believers, we don't need a celebrity to give too much attention to, because our attention and our affection is already set apart for God. And before you think I'm bashing people, I'm not bashing people or celebrities and athletes. That's great. Ephesians 6 and 12 actually gives us an insight. He says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. So I'm not talking directly about people. I'm talking about the real troublemakers, spirits that set themselves up behind people to try to draw praise to those people and to themselves. And there's some gifted people out there. There's some gifted actors. There's some gifted singers, but they didn't die for my sins. Amen? Amen. Some talented people, but they didn't purchase my salvation. I appreciate that team that won the championship, but I'm not going to cheer louder for the team than I cheer for Jesus. I'm not going to clap any harder for the team I'm not going to sing any harder for a team that didn't redeem my soul, because my highest praise belongs to Jesus. You see, every other god is an idol who cannot see what I need, who cannot come to my rescue in my moment of crisis. My praise is too precious to spend on anybody else but Jesus. You see, I understand what I was made for, and I hope the people of God can understand what we were designed for. We were designed to give the praise to none other but Jesus. And when we do that, he becomes the center of everything. Every other god is incapable of truly being and doing what only God can do. There's an old song that says, there is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And it's so true that God has a legacy. He has a history of coming through for his people. You can have a confidence. You can have a trust, a firm reliance in the fact that God will always come through on your behalf. And I'm happy to lay down any of my will. I'm happy to lay down any idol that's known or unknown of myself, because they weren't working in the first place. I'm happy to lay down my will because I know that his will always delivers. The word of God says that he never leaves his seed begging for bread, that the righteous will never be forsaken. So when I put him in the center of my life and I put his will at the top of my mind, what I'm chasing after will always be a success one way or another. Even when I hit setbacks, I know that the end result is I win. I know the end result is I succeed, because when I put him at the center, I get what I cannot get any other place, because every other god is an idol. So we have confidence that the God we serve will not disappoint when we lay down our will and we pick up his will. He will do what every other god is incapable of doing. So we have to put God back at the center. This is what's so great about community. We're able to be together and brush shoulders with each other and listen to the word of God and hold each other accountable and say, hey, did you kind of scoot Jesus a little bit to the side, a little bit left, or a little bit to the right? And is something else kind of in the center right now in your life? And as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's important that we hold each other accountable, that we remind each other, that we pray for each other, that we encourage one another. Not guilt trip each other, but say, man, as somebody that's in my life and I love you, are you centered right? Is Jesus in the center? Or has something else kind of shifted him to the side? How do we get Jesus back to the center and put him as the focus and make him the middle of everything in our world, that every other priority in our life revolves around him? Before I make this next job decision, does that line up with what God is saying to me right now in this season? But before I make this next relationship decision, does that really line up with what God is saying to me in my devotional time with him? But before I make this big move and move to another state or move to another city or sell my house and move to another house, does that line up with that still small voice is saying in my heart? Because sometimes We shift God over and we take the wheel back and start driving ourselves instead of Jesus leading us. We're asking Jesus to follow us. Will you follow me, Jesus, and just have my back on this one? And Jesus said, no, I need to be the center. The way that this is going to work, the way that it's going to succeed, the way that you're going to be more than a conqueror, the way that you're going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed and you're going out and you're coming in, is when I'm in the center. The way that you're going to know what is pleasing and perfect is when I'm in the center. And we're saying to God today, everything that's gotten in the way, I'm tossing it. I'm putting it out with the trash, or I'm putting it in its proper place. I'm downgrading that thing. I'm deprioritizing that, and I'm reprioritizing God in my life. I'm throwing out the ideas that keep getting in the way. The Bible says, take captive every thought that raises up itself against the knowledge of God. And so sometimes we got to even capture the stuff that's going on in our mind and take captive the emotions in our hearts and say, you know what? I'm keeping God in the center. I'm not going to let hurt be in the center. I'm not going to let pain be in the center. I'm going to do whatever I need to do and go through whatever process that I need to put God back in the center. If I got to get around some other believers to move that pain or that hurt or that anger to the side so I can put Jesus back in the center. So there's a lot of things that we can put in the center. But I'm laying it down and I'm picking up your will today, God. And I'm not just going to add you, God, to what I'm doing. Because you're not an addendum. I'm going to push everything else out of the way. And make a lot of room that I can put you right in the center. How many know that we serve a big God? He takes up a lot of space. He takes up a lot of space. So when we're making that room in the center, we got to make enough space for him to occupy in our lives. The only way that we really lay down our will is to lay down these idols that are attached to it. Some we have that we know. And God has said, hey, you got to address that area. Others we don't know. And then the Holy Spirit says, hey, in this moment of worship, in this moment of the preaching of the word, God just kind of illuminates that area and kind of convicts your heart a little bit. And you say, you know what? That's an area I need to lay that down. That's become an idol to me. And so if we don't lay down our idols, we're not really laying down our will. To truly say not my will, we need to put his will right smack in the center. And while Paul was talking to the Athenians, he said in Acts 17:28, for in him, Jesus, in him we live and move and even exist. That sounds like a man that had been profoundly impacted by Jesus being the center of everything he did. He was motivated by Jesus being the center when he said, in him we live, in him we move. And we exist. We have our being. Will you stand with me today? I want us to make some declarations. I want us to make some decisions. Because that's really when we come together and we're saying, hey, as a church, we're going to make some declarations. I'm going to say some things out of my mouth today. I'm going to make some promises to myself. I'm going to make some promises to God. I'm going to reaffirm some things that I know is right. I'm going to affirm some things that I heard today because I know God's taking me somewhere greater than where I'm at right now. I know God wants to elevate me from the position that I am now to the position that he wants to take me because our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is able. And so I want you to just declare this with me today. God, I surrender. I belong to you. Take every idol out of my life. I lay it down. Jesus, I want what you have. Jesus, I want what you are. Transform my life to be a reflection of your will. Not my will, but your will. Be done in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. God, I thank you for your people. God, your sons, your daughters that you so desperately love. God, I thank you, Father, for where they are right now. And God, I pray that as we're here, as we have head bowed and we're really meditating on this, God, that you would highlight any area that's getting in the way. Any area that's taken some of the space up that you're supposed to occupy. God, let us deprioritize that. Let us take some of those things completely out of our lives. But God, reveal to us today some moves that we can make this week. Some things that we can change this week. Because we don't just want to be hearers, but we want to be doers of the word. We want to hear something on Sunday and we want to apply it on Monday. We want to see the effectiveness in our life. We want to see this word take deep root in our life and bring forth fruit. And so, God, we want to throw out the idols. We want to put everything in correct priority. God, we want to put you in the center. So, God, I thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here, God. Give them the courage, the passion, the insight, the discernment to see and to recognize idols that are in their life and throw it out. Other things that are good things, that they'll just deprioritize them and put them in their proper place, God, so that your will can take place in their life. God, I thank you. We lay down our will. We lay down other priorities and other idols so we can pick up your will today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.